The following presentation is brought to you by the Pride of ODU, the official NIL collective of Old Dominion Athletics. Be a monarchist. Join the Pride.
Monarch Nation, welcome back to the Monarchist Podcast. Today, this is a show, Mike, that we've wanted to do for a while. We've been talking about it for a year. We have Old Dominion legend Ryan Jensen on. He started every game at offensive tackle. For you guys have been with this squad from the very beginning in 2009. You know these squads, 9-2, 8-3, 10-3, the greatest college football program startup in the history. Ryan, welcome to the world's best and only ODU podcast.
Right on. Thanks for having me. We've been trying to cook this thing up for a while, so I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, and you're dressed for the show. Thank you for wearing your Monarchist gear.
I wear this thing way too much, dude. I wear this all the time. It's starting to fade a little bit, so I'm going to put another order in with you guys. Get a shirt going.
Yeah, we got to bring the merch back. All right, so let's go back to the restart of Old Dominion football and that offensive line. Obviously, you guys protected Thomas DeMarco and then Taylor Heinicke, the GOAT, extremely well, allowing them to have such great success. What was it about those units that made you guys so good?
I think we were just super tight, to be honest. Like, I mean, I came in there with Tobin Cameron from junior college. So we already, the both tackles had already played together for 2 years. And then we did another round at ODU. And then the center, Jeremy Hensley, he was insane. I mean, a lot of those guys were kind of blue chip guys. And I see that a lot in this current line, that a lot of guys that were under recruited and have a chip on their shoulder. And I think one thing that also helps, we were super tight. Like, we would hang out. We'd go get food after practice. We'd hang out on the weekends. And at the time, we didn't have the budget to do, like, you know, they're living off campus and houses and stuff. We were all in those Powhatan apartments. So, like, I'm living with, you know, three other 300-pound dudes and every other lineman. The role, we're all together, and we'd walk to practice together to the facility. And we were just super tight, and we were kind of forced to be, just the way the housing situation was. But I think that just that closeness lets you play together really well, especially, like, if someone's messing with your boy, you're going to step up and get him back on the side. You know what I mean?
So you talk about being overlooked, under-recruited. You're a guy, you didn't start playing football until a little bit later. I think you started out playing soccer and then picked up football. Was it your junior year in high school?
Yeah, I started as a junior. I was playing soccer, and I was like 6'4", 275, you know, not good body fat, but coach came up to me, Steve Ellison, and he goes, you should play football. And I went out, and I was just excited to play. And I was like, I'm going to be on JV as a junior. And I got called up and played a lot of high school, and then ended up going to junior college because I had a slow start. I can tell you that, like, we ran the triple option, and I'll tell you a story of how little I knew of football. I didn't watch it. I didn't really play Madden or anything like that. But I didn't understand that the read, you know, when we do like a QB read, I literally thought it was like, because I had been in music class, a clarinet read. You know what I mean? I thought they were talking about like a special play or something, and it didn't click till I was in junior college what that was, which is pretty embarrassing to say. But like, the development of the mental side of football and like really understanding the game came later, especially when I got to ODU.
All right. So I also played in a triple option offense in high school. How was it going from a run heavy, like 99% of the time offense, to going to JUCO where you now you have to pass block a lot more often?
It was a big transition. Just like high school, I learned to run block. I mean, the coach would say, you played in the triple option. It's kind of complicated for linemen. You got a veer step and you have to let a lot of guys go. But at the end of the day, it's your hands in the dirt and you're pushing guys as far as you can. So I kind of picked up the attitude there. And then you go to JUCO and it's all 2-point stance, right? It's completely different. It flipped, which is what we ran at ODU. We were all spread. And we were in a 2-point the whole time. I think now they're in 2 and 3 with this offense, depending on the play. But it was definitely a big flip. And, you know, I had to be, it was a lot of learning to do, right? And luckily I had good coaches that saw the potential with us and gave us good coaching that translated to the field, which let me go to Old Dominion.
All right. So California guy, I mean, there were a couple of you in the earlier days, right? I mean, Thomas DeMarco was a California guy. Talk to us about the first time you heard about Old Dominion and how you ended up in Norfolk.
So I was at JUCO, and I had a pretty good season my sophomore year. I had filled out, you know, I graduated high school at 245. So I was tall and lean, and then I put on the weight just through that program at JUCO. And I remember being at practice, and this is 2008, and it's the year they're all redshirting. So I don't know if you, I mean, obviously you guys do it for the fans watching. The first year at ODU, they recruited a bunch of 18-year-olds, and they had them living on campus. So it was basically a full team of kids fresh out of high school. And Wilder's strategy was to go to JUCO and grab juniors and seniors to basically saturate the team with maturity. So I remember when I got recruited by Arkansas State, Texas State, a couple other mid-major 1A schools, but I saw ODU. It was Coach Rondo in his polo, and I looked at the logo, and I was like, who is this? I'll be honest with you. I was like, who is this, like, D3 school? Because they didn't have football, right? I had no idea who they were. And then Wilder comes to my house personally. He flew in, sat down with me, and he goes, do you like football? And I was like, or do you like video games? And someone must have tipped him off. And I'm like, yeah. He goes, do you want to go to Arkansas State or any of these other schools and be Alabama's punching bag? Or do you want to start your own dynasty and basically play it out and, like, leave your mark on the school? And they got my ass with that one. They hooked me. And I went on a trip with Tobin Cameron, who was the first year I was right tackle. Tobin was left. And I saw the stadium wasn't even constructed yet, right? It was all dirt, but they had the clamshell Foreman Field, which is no longer, it's been renovated since. But the locker room, which I thought was unbelievable, which has also been replaced. You know, these things were so exciting coming from JUCO. We're in a locker room that smells like body odor, and it's no good, right? So I was so impressed by ODU and, like, the brand new facility. They're still practicing that facility, but it was, like, the coolest thing I've ever seen, and I committed early. And then I came out, I had to finish some classes to get eligible. So I had another semester, and I came out in the summer and started working out with that team. But it's the best decision I ever made. I mean, you can see my room. I have so much pride in that school. And I talk about Old Dominion all the time. I got a flag above my desk at work, and we got a flag at our house, and the kids know ODU. So it's something I'm so proud of, and I'm glad we were there before the time of the portal and all that. Just being a part of that first team is something I can always say. Like, I was on the first team. Like, how cool is that? It's one of my biggest life accomplishments, honestly.
Yeah, you guys definitely left your mark here at Old Dominion. But we briefly touched on it. Being a California guy, you got the block for another California kid in Thomas DeMarco, who was mobile. Then Taylor, another mobile quarterback. Right now at Old Dominion, we have another California kid that can run pretty damn well. And Colton Joseph, talk to us about the challenges as an offensive lineman blocking for someone that you're not really sure where they're going.
Yeah, I think the there's a positive and a negative to it. The positive is, like I was mentioning before we started recording, but I was watching the Georgia Southern game. It's on YouTube. I'm just trying to look at some more clips to figure out special teams. And I saw some plays where, like, the pocket's collapsing. We're not getting up sacks or anything, but Taylor Heineke goes and uses his legs and runs for 15 yards. It's the first down, right? They can make plays happen and spread the field. The downside of it is, especially when you're a tackle, the three guys in the interior are setting the pocket by basically trying to get guys stoned on the line. The tackles are making a circle basically around the pocket so he can step up. And when he steps out and they start going sideways to go get the quarterback, oftentimes you can get holds because you don't have eyes in the back of your head, right? So it's challenging for sure as a tackle because the refs will call you for holding, but at the same time, they can make you look great, right? Like Taylor Heineke, he's a Hall of Famer for sure. Probably the best of all time at Old Dominion. And he made us look great on plays that we weren't great on. You know what I mean? So I love the mobile quarterbacks. I thought Colton did a great job last year spreading the field with his legs, and it's a weapon for sure.
All right, so obviously you guys were winners. You set the world on fire. Old Dominion fans, we're still spoiled. People remember those early years, and that's what they expect and those sorts of things. In the last couple of years, we've had a lot of one-score games, really close, and one or two plays can dictate whether you're winning a lot of games or losing a lot of games. That winning mentality, how does a team develop that?
I think it starts in the off season now, like, especially for the line. Like, I remember when we were on the field, like, there would be guys on the D line and we would we would pancake them, and then we would do stuff like we would roll them with our heads to the sideline to set the attitude. Like, we would always start fights at the beginning of camp, and we really set the tone with the mentality side of it. Like, we were a line not to be messed with, and we would have teams. I remember playing like Georgia State in the Falcon Stadium. Like, by halftime, those guys were done. Like, we were so in their heads, and we're talking shit on the line, and we're saying things I can't say on the podcast, but like, you have to establish the dominance of the line. And I think that this group they have right now can absolutely do that. I follow all those guys on social media, and like guys like Barlev, and I like this new guy, Ryan Joyce, the new center from Fordham, and then Stefan, the right tackle. And then some of the younger guys like Theo Batchelder, those guys hang out together, and you see them like, I see them like going fishing and like, you know, doing all types of wild stuff together. And I think this team is tight knit and they're all returning. And I think there is, I have really high hopes for this season just because of the line play. I think they're going to be excellent. Like, Barlev's a winner. I can tell you that right now. That dude went from guard to left tackle against, I think he was in Virginia Tech game, right? Was that the switch? That's a huge, huge game. And he balled out, and now he's a starting left tackle. So they have some pieces that are excellent. And I think the winning, I actually think, you know, I don't know if you guys checked out that SEC thing on Netflix, but there's a clip of ODU versus South Carolina, and it was a tight game. And like, they were, like you said, one score game, dude, they're one game away all the time. And I think this, I really believe this is the year it's going to click, because they lost the center to Louisville. I know that, but besides that, the group is returning and they're looking good.
Yeah. I don't know if they've ever had this deep of an offensive line under Ricky. You got five guys that have started games in the past, and that doesn't include Ryan Joyce, who has 43 starts in his career and 46 appearances in his career. And he's a seventh-year guy. Having him, Zach, and Stefan leading the group, it's got to be pretty helpful to Coach Huddle and to getting these guys motivated and keeping them in line.
Oh, for sure. I think they have some dogs. And then that guy Joyce reminds me of the blue collar group that kind of came in for those first 3 years, that we were guys that were under recruited. The guy goes to Fordham, balls out, right? And now he's here for his last year to put some film on tape for in a bigger schedule. And that guy is like, you know, he's hungry. You know what I mean? Like, that's the guy who's going to be finishing people. I haven't even seen him play yet, but that dude, I'm telling you right now, if he ends up starting, you're going to see that guy be a dog, because he's hungry. He's been through the Patriot League, where I don't even think they get scholarships. And now this guy's at ODU in these great facilities with a bunch of senior guys that are returning, and I'm fired up for this game. I really think that, and I know you guys are going to cover Indiana later, but I really think that there is a good shot Indiana is going to be rattled by this senior group of guys.
I will add this about Ryan Joyce. Ricky mentioned him at Media Day. They're asking about what it's like having this super senior on the team, and he says he actually likes to talk plays and football with Ryan. On Monday, I guess, for 20 minutes, he was just scratching on the whiteboard, and they were going back and forth for a whole, like, half hour, just talking back. Like, that type of knowledge and experience at the center position is huge for us, and it's not something we've really had, because while Flores was pretty good last year for us, he didn't have a lot of playing time, and, like, that much playing time in his past.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think Ryan Joyce is going to be a great anchor for this O-line, along with Zach and Stefan. It's going to be a fun group. And we're going to be able to run the ball on everybody we play.
Yeah.
All right. I kind of wanted to get to the mentality through, like, the mentality throughout the year. So you got spring camp, and then you got fall, or you got fall camp, and then you have the season. How does that change throughout the year?
I just think when they come into the camp, the double days right now, like, they've been working their ass off. They're all, the muscles high, right? They're all in the best shape of their life, especially the older guys. Like, you're Joyce's 7th year of college football lifting. Barlev's a 5th year senior, right? Is he 5th year? These guys are just, they're yoked out and they're in the best shapes of their life. And now they're able to take all the off season stuff they did and apply it with their knowledge. And I think that, you know, as you go through that, the season starts to come, you get banged up. And it's, we have a great 5, right? But it's up to the backups to, are they going to step up? Like, if someone gets banged up or ding, you know, knock on wood, it doesn't happen to us this year, but you have to keep your body healthy and you got to keep your weight up. That's a big one, especially as you're going to be sweating all day at practice, and you got to make sure to keep eating. And then there's going to be some adversity, right? The schedule is hard. Yeah. They have a great schedule this year. And, you know, you can't have guys in the locker room become cancers. You have to stick to the mission and just understand that it's time to win football. This is a big year for ODU, right? I think everybody knows that, in that we've had so many years come this close, and this one is one for the coaching staff and some of these players. Like, we have great facilities, we have everything going for us, the fans, but this is a monster year for the program. And I do believe, truly, as a fan, as a former player, that this is they have everything, all the pieces set in stone to be successful. And then as the season goes on, like I said, it's about being healthy. And then the guys that aren't healthy, the young guys got to step up. I don't know if you guys have seen Theo Batchelder at practice. I saw him last year redshirting in the tunnel, talked to him for a little bit. I see a video of him on the ODU Instagram. The guy's put on 40 pounds of muscle. He's got a beard now. Like, they're developing young guys, and that's exciting. And I think that guys like Jason Henderson that didn't leave and take the easy portal route are establishing, like, ODU is a great place to be. And you should be, like, not to get back to myself, but I'm so proud. And I had BMO here last weekend. I went to DJ Morrell's wedding during the summer. Like, these guys that stick around and take pride in the program are going to have best friends for life. And like, you're always welcome at the tailgate. You know what I mean? Like, when you guys host your socials, like, how many guys do you see coming back, especially the early years when there was no portal? And I'm not trying to go deep dive on the portal, but there's so much pride in the school. And I think it's back. These guys are really happy to be there. And they got a working group of guys, and I'm really fired up for them.
All right. So since you kind of took a little bit of a step back there, I'm going to follow. So lots of super memorable moments on the field, off the field for you at Old Dominion. What are one or two of your kind of favorite moments on the field? It could be a play. It could be really, it could be anything, but things that when you think about, either puts a big smile on your face or maybe a tear comes out of your eye.
Kicking JMU's ass on Halloween, that first game. It wasn't an ass kicking, but I don't know if you remember the play where Taylor Heineke, like, runs back, scrambles for like 30 yards, throws a bomb up to Larry Pinkard. It was Halloween. I had a couple friends out in costume on the sideline, and then people visiting that. And it's hard for me from California. I don't get a lot of visitors, right? So we loaded that field up with people we knew on Halloween and beating JMU. There's a famous picture, if you remember, Eddie McClam basically holding his hands up to that coach. I think his name is Mickey something, the head coach at JMU. And it's a classic. Like, I have it on my phone. I keep it. But that was a huge win. And like, every time we play JMU now, I think about that game. Like, you know, JMU is good. Like, they were ranked last year. And I would like to see ODU get back to the positives on them, because we started off pretty hot with Taylor and those groups. The second memory would be that first game, man. That now these guys are playing Indiana in the first game, right? It's a little different. But we played Chawan, and we treated Chawan like it was Alabama, right? Like, they scared us, like, these dogs are coming out. And we went out there in that first game, and sold out stadium and kicked some ass. And it was the way we set off the program. Like, I think about that all the time. In fact, the picture, if you see that picture on the wall, it's me and Craig running out, Craig Wilkins, yeah, in the tunnel right there for the first game. So that's probably it. Just being a founding father of the program, that was a really cool experience.
You guys were so good. I don't think I ever walked in to Foreman Field expecting us to lose.
Never.
Or even the thought even creeping into my head. I thought every game we're going to win. It was a special time to be at Old Dominion. And I thank you guys for just putting us on that track, because so many of my favorite memories are from those teams.
Yeah, it was a really fun time. Like, we didn't lose many games. The ones we did, like, I still think about, like how? You know what I mean? How do we, like, I don't remember the Towson game, but we were playing for the CAA championship the first year. And it was like 4th and 29, and they throw a Hail Mary and get it. You know what I mean? That's like, that still leaves a sour taste in my mouth to this day. Like,
that was right in front of me.
Oh,
so right.
It drives me insane.
Ryan, we actually have a group chat with a bunch of ODU fans, and we have banned the phrase 4th and 29 from that chat.
You see, I didn't look anything up, and I knew the yardage in my head. You see, you
know what
I
mean? Like, exactly.
It bothers me to this day. Like, and then that same team, basically, the only ones they graduated were myself, Prentice Gill, Jeremy Hensley, and Ronnie Cameron. They go and win the CAA the next year. So, like, I'm one of the few guys without hardware. You know what I mean? We had the same team. It was there, and it drives me nuts. I don't have it, but I'm really happy for the guys that got it the next year. And that team was so good. I really believe that team could step on the field right now and compete. the same exact way. Like, there was dogs, dude. There was the receivers, Prentice Gill, Antonio Vaughn, Larry Pinkard. You got Taylor Heineke at quarterback. And what's his name? I just made the Hall of Fame. Nick Mayers was a baller. You got Plisco punting, Jared Brown kicking, and then the D-line stacked with guys like Sailor Burnett, Craig Wilkins. And then the O-line was just a bunch of dogs that were like best friends, right? They would, they'd kill for each other. Not actually, but you know what I mean? Like, we were just super tight. So those teams were so good. And I think that this team is the first one I've seen in a while where I feel like there's a chance it could happen again. I'm very excited for this young group coming up. Actually, I should say young. They're pretty senior. And I like that. They're boys. Like I said, they hang out. O-line's going fishing. They're probably slamming beers down together. I think that there's the unity of this team to do stuff like that. Whereas before, I was talking to Coach Ronnie a little bit, just with the portal situation, guys were bouncing, right? Like, you go 4-6 or whatever, and guys are taking off. A lot of these guys stuck around, and that's exciting to me that they have pride in the school. And there's no doubt, guys like Jason Henderson, I talked to him at practice last year at the Virginia Tech game. I was like, hey, dude, thank you for staying. I was like, you got to understand, you stay here, you're going to be on the side of the stadium, dude. You're going to be a Hall of Famer at this school. Like, he is a guy that will go down in history as a monarch. You know what I mean? He could have gone anywhere he wanted. He's an All-American. And this guy stuck around, and I'm so excited for this team, man. I really am.
So you were talking about the portal and the guys that did stick around. Obviously, NIL came into the picture there, and Old Dominion fans stood up, and the university stood up to bring these guys back. But I think a crucial part of that was a guy like Zach Barlev coming back, because I think I saw a stat last year about all conference players and how many of them were on their team after the portal was over. And it was like one or two guys. And we're lucky to have them. Like, Zach could have gone anywhere he wanted to. Cashed in the portal. And he stayed committed to Old Dominion and came back. So I think you're really right on about this team being close. The leadership's good. Everything's there for them. I just think they're – how will they bounce back from those? Because Towson, you guys could have let that bother you and become a bigger issue in that season, but you didn't. You guys bounced back.
Yeah, we kept winning, and we went to the playoffs, and unfortunately – we played Georgia Southern in that last game. The offense put up 50-something points, and I'm not throwing shade at anybody, but they never punted the ball, and I think part of that was the triple option. You know, they were running that at the time. We had a basketball score in that game, I don't know if you know, and we're one touchdown away from, you know, I think it was final score. It was like 52-56, something like that. It's crazy numbers for college football. If that game was won, I think we go to the final round. I really do. We were that good. Unfortunately, it didn't go that way, but that team was a lot of fun to play on. And you just got to take the hits. Like, we lost a couple, like Towson sucked, but you buckle up and you get pissed off about it and use it. You channel it in the right way. You know what I mean? You don't sulk. You don't talk shit about your teammates. You use it to go forward, and like, you're watching film, you're working out, you're practicing hard. Like, guys, like, I don't even remember Chad King. He was DN, but like, we called him Turbo Chad, 'cause like, during walkthrough, that guy would go 110%. And like, guys like that, you need. Like, it would piss me off sometimes, because like, it's Friday walkthrough and Chad King's coming out of his stance full tilt, but it made me better and Chad got better. And then Chad in the playoffs was getting sacks, you know? So everybody you just got to be able to handle the adversity in there with this schedule. Keep in mind, we played Chawan, you know, we played schools like that first year. These guys are playing Indiana at home, probably going to be a sellout, right? It's this is different schedules, and these guys have a harder hill to climb. But at the end of the day, I think we have the talent to do it, and I'm really excited for them, like I said.
I mean, you've been a player. You've been a coach. You're a coach right now. The finger-pointing does happen when things go bad. What is the easiest way to kind of snuff that in the butt to make it not become a problem?
For the players, it's senior leadership, I would say. Like, you know, they got to police their own, basically, and knock that stuff off before it starts. As a coach, it happens a lot. I'm at the high school level right now, but we had a little bit of that going on, and we have to nip it in the bud right away, right? Like, hey, you don't talk shit about your teammates. You want to be a captain? Act like it. Raise your buddies up. People lose on plays. That happens. But it's up to the senior leadership and the core group of guys to basically, when this stuff does happen, like, you got to handle it. And sometimes coaches will say, you guys handle it, and they'll leave you alone, and you go in the locker room, and there might be a little yelling or whatnot to clean it up. But it's up to guys. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't want to be yelled at by Barlev. I don't know about you guys. You know what I mean? I don't want to be put in a corner and be like, knock that shit off from a guy that's 320 pounds or wherever he is. But it's guys like that. Henderson is another one. And some of these leaders that have to be the examples. And obviously these young guys are watching them because they're studs.
And Zach just squatted 650 and was mad they wouldn't let him go for 700.
Yeah. Come on. You want to say your teammate was shitty on a play to that guy, right? No, you don't. That guy's a dog.
What would be even scarier, though, is Zach is such a nice guy, and he always has this big smile on his face. But I bet you when he needs to be mean and nasty, it makes way more impact because people are just used to the nice Zach.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that guy plays, like, when he puts that helmet on, he gets a screw-loose mentality, right? Like, he's nice to his friends, his family, you know, all the people at school. But that dude, you don't want to mess with that dude because when he turns it on, you're going for a ride. You know what I'm saying? So, like, sometimes the nicest guys can be the nastiest on the field. It's just a flip switches in your head. I don't know what it is, but it's certain guys can do it. And I had a coach say, you know, there's only certain guys that can pull that trigger, right? Like, some guys come out of the off season looking like, you know, looking like Tarzan. They play like Jane, you know what I mean? And then there's certain guys that are going to hit. You can't teach that. Like, it's just a natural instinct in their head. And I think he's one of those guys.
You talk about kind of having that, you know, whether it's nastiness once you're on the field, a mean streak, whatever it is. Mike, I don't know if I'm misremembering this, but in those first few years, we seemed to get a lot of personal fouls. Was that just the intensity? Was it intentional? I mean, what was it? Because we're always going to like, dang, what's going on?
I led the CAA in personal fouls, so I'm part of that problem. But it was an attitude thing. Like I said, we want guys to be, by the second half, want to go home. We want them to pack up. I would do this move where some call it a hold. All my D-line friends call it a hold. I don't agree, but you take so if I'm on the right side of the line, I'm going to grab their pad here and I'm going to pull it and then I'm going to throw them that way. And we called it the choke slam. So we would start choke slamming people. I remember a play where I drove a outside linebacker to our sideline and put him on our bench and took my helmet off. He ripped my helmet off and I screamed in his face. And that type of stuff is just to set the tone and the attitude. And now I'm old and I have memories of all that. I can't do that stuff at work anymore, right? But for those 5 years when you're playing college football, that should be it makes me sick when guys aren't doing that. Like, and I'm not saying be a cheater and personal foul everybody, but if you got a chance to body someone and pancake them and then maybe take a jump on them after and you take the flag, Wilder, I will say, would give us the first one. Like, he would tell us, first one's on me today, right? Especially in a big game. I think JMU, first one's on me. So you earn that first one, you know, you had coach's permission, but you also don't want to kill a drive. But I don't know. Does that make sense? Does that answer?
Oh, it makes a lot of sense. Were you guys fighting to be the first one, you know?
I'll tell you a story. The first year we had an award. It was called the prick of the week, right? If you were the biggest prick on the field, you got a t-shirt. And we didn't have the budget they have now with all these sick shirts. Like, it was that white Nike cheap ODU shirt. And it was a goal of mine. I stocked my dresser. I would wear them every day to class. Like, I wanted those shirts. So when I would go out there, I would be a menace on purpose. And it was all within the rules of the game. But come on, dude, you got to stock the wardrobe. I would give them to my coaches back home. That was what I was doing. So I think you got to have incentives like that. I'm not asking for a bounty program at ODU, but some sort of award for being a physical, nasty lineman is something I do as a coach. And I think that I hope they have something. I imagine they do. But if not, this is my campaign to bring that back to Old Dominion.
They got a lot of awards. We haven't asked about that one specifically, but there's a lot of stuff they do to motivate guys. All right. I played a little bit of on the line. I was a tight end, played defensive end. Mm-hmm. So I know that a lot of stuff goes on under those piles. So let's talk about the dirtiest thing you've saw under those piles.
Oh, man. You want to put this on record?
Hey, we've got the explicit thing, it's okay.
What's the statute of limitations here for this? What are we looking at?
I think you're clear.
We used to teach when guys, DNs jump up to swat the ball, if you get them one time in the spot, they'll never do it again. So when guys try to swat the ball from Taylor or Thomas DeMarco, within the ref can't see it, they're jumping in the air. You give them a full jab or right cross right to the sack, and then that stops that issue for the rest of the game. So, like, things like that. There wasn't much, like, I mean, you hear about it in the NFL, like, guys are doing that stuff. But I can tell you other teams, a guy from Georgia State spit in my mouth because he was getting upset. He was getting his ass kicked. So you see stuff like that going on. But besides that, I'm not going to talk about the stuff until the statute of limitations is over, right? We're not there yet. We got a couple more years.
I think that's 20 years statute of limitations.
We're getting close. Yeah, bring me back on in 4 more years, I'll let you know the true secrets of the first teams.
Okay, that's fair. All right, you mentioned when Bobby came out, when he flew out to recruit you, and he asked you if you like video games, and you said yeah.
Yeah.
Question that we've asked a lot of the guys when we were at media day the other day. We're asking if they'd played the new college football game and kind of if they were happy with their rating or their likeness. I guess my first question is, have you played that? Have you played it?
Oh, first day. I got it. Okay. Ultimate's in the game, baby. We're buying it first day, pre-order. We're getting the early access, 100%.
Okay, cool. So who's your favorite? Yeah, I'm assuming you're playing with Old Dominion. Who are your favorite guys that you like to use?
In the game?
Yeah.
I really like playing with, is it Roche or Roach, the number three? Roche? What's the running
back? Yeah, Roche. Yep.
Roche. And then the quarterback's got the speed, right?
Yeah, so I'm they call him off. Roach on the game, though.
Yeah, so I don't know. I know guys that spell it Roche or whatever, but they call him Roach in the game. I like to run the read option. And it's funny, we started with the coaches. I coach high school with, started Dynasty, and I picked ODU, and they're all talking shit to me like, why are you that team? We're all Alabama, we're Texas. But then when you beat them with ODU, it's just that much better. I think we're underrated, by the way. But I will say Roche, Colton, the quarterback's got the legs. When you pull that ball, he's gone. And then the tight end, Butler, number 9. Is that right?
Yep.
Number 9. And then whoever that backup running back is got some bruises. I don't even know his name, to be honest with you, but he gets those extra yards leaning forward. Yeah, I like him.
Keep an eye on him.
Of course, defensively, Jason Henderson, you just play in the middle of the field and you're intercepting balls. And then he's got all those special All-American perks they get. We don't have many of those on our team, but he's got that lockdown. So, like, he's getting TFLs and stuff like that. So those three offensively are my favorite for sure.
So you mentioned the rating. Yesterday they did a patch update on the roster. They added some players that were missing, and they fixed some of the ratings on the team. I think we went from like a 66 overall to like a 73.
Okay, I'll take that. We're more
competitive. They're seeing that Old Dominion is better than they thought.
Did they fix Ricky?
He still looks
like someone completely different.
He looks blonde looks so and like awful. Similar haircut, but his face is a little off. I don't think he got in the laser room for that.
Yeah, and they have Decker and Siler in the game, but I actually haven't seen them during games.
Can I ask you guys a favor? Can you start tweeting and using the power of your podcast to get Big Blue in the game? How is he not in the game? He's the mascot of the year.
I'll say this. We have been tweeting that for the last year. I also complain that the beer garden isn't full.
Yeah.
It's not only not full, it's empty.
You should have DJ Morrell in the front row with two Miller Lights in his hand screaming. Like, that first things first, put him in. He's always there. BMO, get all those guys in the front row. Plisco, get him up there.
And we have a player request from Media Day as well. Koa Natala wants his hair in the game.
Oh, yeah. That's.
Yeah, he says he's like got like a – his hair looks like mine.
Yeah, no, it's unacceptable. If he's got that flow, you got to honor it. So – I'll get on Twitter after we hang up here, and I'll start blasting off some tweets myself. We got to fix this for the boys.
Yes, 100%. All right, so Indiana's coming up. This is maybe the toughest opponent we've ever had in Old Dominion's history. Last year we had South Carolina with a Heisman candidate, but I think it was Lenore Sellers' first start. So we had an opportunity to knock off maybe a future Heisman winner, but we know how that ended. We're playing a team that was the best rush defense in the country last year. They played in the college football playoff. They have a very good head coach who all he does is win. Just Google him.
Just Google it. Yeah.
Talk to me about what this team needs to do to go off and pull this upset off.
I think it starts up front, and I know I'm here representing the O-line, but I think we have the guys to do it. Like I said earlier, those three seniors, the tackles in the center, are going to have to set the tone real early and get in their heads. Indiana's got some dogs, they always have, but we have a senior group coming back, and we almost beat South Carolina with this, with a lot of these guys last year, and the next week, whatever it was, they were neck and neck with LSU to the last second. Like, we have the talent to win. Like, we just got to get over this curse of the one score game, right? Like, I really think, like, I don't know about you guys, it's one of the best days of my life was when we beat the ranked Tech. Like, that was, I could have ran 3 miles sprinting after that. Like, it was the best. It starts up front. I think our O-line and D-line are going to be the ones to set the tone. They're, like you said, they got a really good rushing defense, but I think we have the pieces in play to handle that. And we have a very shifty, athletic back who can make plays, and our quarterback can also use his legs. So I think it's those guys that are going to set it up. And then once we do that, we can start passing and we'll get in the game. You know what I mean? But, you know, they're going to try to stop the run first, and it's up to our guys to have the attitude and the grit to put their hand in the dirt and get under those pads and basically be an asshole and set the tone. That's all I ask of them. You know what I mean? I think they all have the ability. They have the size, and it'll carry itself. If we control the clock, we're going to win that game.
Yeah, that was going to be my question to you, is which dictates which. We need to establish that run. That's what they're going to expect, I have to say. I mean, or do you have to establish the other thing because they're just going to load the box so much from the start and challenge us?
Yeah, it's interesting, and especially because they have our Grant Wilson in that QB room with the coach who knows our system, so that scares me a little bit. You know, he's at Indiana now, but I think that it's going to start with the run, because if you're able to establish the run, they start bringing a third linebacker in the box, then we start passing, right? And we have athletic receivers, a lot of new guys that can spread the field, but we want to make it so they start loading that box up a little bit more. If they come out at a 4-2, I think we're going to be fine. We can run all over them. But once they start loading that box up and showing different things, and I don't even know, to be honest with you, if they're in a 3-4 or whatever. But what I mean is they're going to have seven guys in the box. It's going to open up our passing. So if we establish that early, it's going to change the game for our offense.
Sorry, I am actually looking up the scheme they run because I haven't done my research on Indiana yet.
I don't know. My father-in-law grew up in that town, and he was like, let's go, let's go. They're another town, kind of like Norfolk, that's just got a lot of pride in their, you know, that's their team, right? They're going to bring the noise, and I hope the Monarch Nation travels as well. Get some blue shirts out there.
So we're looking at a multiple scheme and go from nickel, 4-2-5, or 3-3-5.
Okay.
So it's essentially the same defense we're running right now.
Yeah. So I imagine they're going to come out in a 4-2 and see what we do. We can do a lot of things. We have tight ends now. Like when we play, we didn't use a tight end really. We had them, we didn't use them. ODU can do a lot of different things, and there's a lot of different looks for that. So I don't know what personnel they're going to come out in, but I would hope that they set the tone with the run. And then, you know, we got read option all day with our quarterbacks as fast as any in the nation. You know what I mean? That guy has got legs.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see this team and see their mentality and see how they get up for this game. Cause look, we all left South Carolina last year with a lot of pride, mad that we couldn't pull it off, but that team made us proud with the way they fought. Defensively, especially, and we didn't have this offense at the time because the offense completely changed the minute Grant Wilson got hurt and Colt Joseph took over. I think in some of our biggest losses last year, we were averaging like 37 points a game.
That's crazy. It's crazy. We've had some weird situations as a program too. Like we lost the OC like the week before the season. Was that last year or 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
But like they started without an OC and they were still being competitive that whole time. And now this system's been in, correct me if I'm wrong, but the same OC is back from last year.
Yeah, this is year three from Decker. Yeah. So 4 years ago, okay. That weird year, Pat and I. fired.
Yeah, his system's in, right? And like, he's got his guys, senior guys running that system. So like, if I was Indiana, I would be very careful to not take these guys lightly. Like, it's a early season game out of conference, but ODU, I mean, we've been spoiled. I mean, you guys can speak to this too, but like, upsetting Virginia Tech, upset, you know, like all these schools we got spoiled early on with. So we always expect the upset. But I think that's the attitude we should have when we play South Carolina. If we would have done that last year, it'd be an SEC school. Can you imagine? Imagine Indiana this week if that happened last year. You know, they're watching that film and they're like, these guys can go.
Yeah.
No, no doubt. No doubt. So you talked a little bit about it earlier with transfer portal, NIL. Obviously, things have changed a lot since you played at Old Dominion. If NIL was around, who would have been the perfect partner for you?
You know what? I don't even know how to answer that, dude. I was just excited to eat at the Web. Like, we got every summer like $100 to go to Kroger. Like, that was a treat. You know what I mean? Like, I was happy. I was going to school for free and playing football. Like, there was nothing better. So, who would be my NIL deal? Oh, man. What would I want? How about more Monarchist t-shirts? Because this is my favorite shirt. Let me partner up with you guys. I'm not an expensive date. You know what I mean? Just get me some shirts with some ODU swag on it.
You got it.
All right.
Well, we want to thank you so much for coming on today and joining us and giving us a little bit more insight on what it takes to be what's that, Aaron?
We don't want to forget. We got one last thing. So we were talking earlier. You said we got 20 years that are coming up in a few years. Before we started recording, you shared a little something. Why don't you share with Monarch Nation what might be happening in a few years?
Yeah, so I want to get this thing started. 2009 was the first team, and I'm looking forward to, we're coming up on that 20-year anniversary. At 10 years, we really didn't do anything. But at 20 years, it's a monumental thing, and I wanted to try to get that first team out and some of those guys from the early years out for we're not going to name a location yet, but the goal is to get, I want you guys to be there. And like I said, I want to thank you for what you do. I listen to your podcast on the way to work for covering ODU, and it's really important for the program. And this is like, I'm so excited, especially during football season. I'm listening to every episode. I'll be honest, not a basketball guy, but during football season, every episode's rolling. But I want to get you guys out there, the fans, and then that first team from 2009, and just have a huge party and celebrate. It's a huge accomplishment. We're almost 20 years. Where are we at? We're 4 years out. So 4 years out of 20 years.
Honestly, that team should probably just go into the Hall of Fame as a team.
I'm ready for that. And also, my second campaign is, I'm very happy with the guys I'm selected for Hall of Fame, but there needs to be some offensive lineman love it there at some point. It's very upsetting to us as a, we talk about it when we get together in our packs of 300-pound men. But come on, show us some love. Pick one of them. Grab one. We need O-linemen.
Otherwise, you're going to get choke slammed.
That's right.
It'll be you or DJ, right?
I don't want to vote for myself. But DJ for sure, Jeremy Hensley, Tobin Cameron. I mean, there's a lot of great dudes that came through that program. And, you know, if it happened, I'd be honored. But there's other guys that are well-deserving. And I just think, I mean, there's no Thomas. All right, I'm going to get my, I got you guys on record. So we got Thomas DeMarco, first year, we're third in the nation in rushing. Okay, we go 9-2. Second year, we're 8-3, I believe. The next year, we're in the semifinals in the playoffs. Like, those teams don't win without the big guys up front. So please, Dr. Selig or whoever is making these decisions, just consider us. I know you don't know our names because we're linemen, but just throw us a bone, all right? Please, we need something.
We have a concerted effort to make sure that people do know the lineman's name. Mike has enlightened me. It is my favorite position to talk to. You guys are cerebral in your answers. Always have good personalities. Best position and group to talk to in the interview.
I couldn't agree more. And that's why when I saw you guys at the brewery, I was like, we should do something. We should do a round table. We should get on the horn because we love to talk football. We're a very quiet group because usually you only know our name if we're giving up a sack or holding, but reach out to us once in a while. We're all right.
Hey, the round table is in the works. We're going to get it done this season. Promise you.
All right. I'll round up the boys. You just let me know.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, giving us a glimpse back into that team and talking about what kind of mentality we need to become the team that we all know we can be this year. Again, thank you so much, and go Monarchs.
Yeah, thank you. I'm a huge fan of your show, and I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.